Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Special, and I am your host, Roger Landry, founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, and as everybody knows, because I say this every time we do one of these specials, this is not a scheduled show. We only do this show when we have a message that we feel needs to be gotten out and pinned to no type of schedule. Okay, today we have a couple of gentlemen with us who are doing something that the Liberty Beacon Project heralds. We all talk about what's wrong. There isn't a person in the Liberty movement out there, or the Freedom movement, or whatever you wish to call it, anybody with a patriotic heart at all that can't tell us what is wrong, or some of what is wrong. What is scarce? And what we in the Liberty Beacon Project are reaching out to find today, and man, did we hit the jackpot here, are people with solutions. Solutions that are within the realm of we the people. Things we can do. Things that our founding fathers worked hard to build into the system to allow us a certain amount of checks and balances within the system. To allow us to maintain or regain control of this system. This is a system of, by, and for the people. We forgot that way, way too long ago. We have acquiesced our power to the tyrants who sit in Washington and have every one of us, or a vast majority of us, believing that they are the rulers of this country when nothing could be further from the truth. So today I'm going to introduce an organization to the Liberty Beacon Project. Now, we have published several of their articles and their publications before. So some of you, actually maybe quite a few of you, will be aware of what the NLA, or the National Liberty Alliance, is. I'm going to give you a real quick rundown or an opening, and then I'm going to turn the floor over to, because our two guests today are John Duresh and Gerard Appia. But in opening, let me say, and this is what I found on their website, and it sent just a wee bit of chill into me. Our mission is to restore the people to sovereignty through knowledge. Okay, what is the mission statement of Liberty Beacon Project? The eradication of programmed ignorance. Sounds like we're marching arm in arm here. And only then will they be armed with the virtue to take a political and judicial power. The people have it in their power to disarm and defeat the enemy of liberty, both foreign and domestic, if they only understand the principles of freedom and stand upon them. My God, if that doesn't give you a bit of chills, then maybe you're listening to the wrong show. And on that note, how are you today, John?
Well, how are you doing, Roger? Thanks for having us. Appreciate the time on your show, and looking forward to have a good conversation here. I guess the best way to start, I'll give you sort of a synopsis. It may take a few minutes to really go through this.
All the time you need. We've got about 45, 50 minutes left, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, there's only two ways that we can save this nation. And actually, there's three. The third doesn't even come to mind. And, the Lord says that only the wicked take by violence. So we can't violently take back that which they have taken from us. But there is a peaceful solution to this whole matter. And it is really becoming re-educated because we have not been taught the truth concerning our founding fathers and the foundation of America. And they've done everything they could to hide it from our education, and so on. And we can wait until they come out after us, and then it's a matter of self-defense. And so that's really the only way other than this peaceful solution. And what we discovered that ultimately through the common law in the courts, because all the courts are Article 3 courts, in other words, created by the people through the authority and the power under the Constitution. And it's very specific on what that court could be. And what they have done through fraud is created a fiction that has robbed our judicial process and system away from the people. The only way the people can rule themselves is that they have total 100% control of the courts. And our founding fathers originally set it up that way under common law. We have what makes up the true makeup of a common law court is a magistrate, not a judge, and that magistrate is elected, and the people can take them in and they can take them out. They have total control. No one can remove that magistrate from office except for under bad behavior, and the people can remove them under bad behavior. Bad behavior is ultimately disobeying the Constitution or acting outside of the Constitution under the color of law. Now, the other officers of the court is the sheriff or the marshal in the federal court. The marshal is identical to the sheriff. Both of them cannot be – nobody in this nation can remove those two individuals from power and authority except the people for bad behavior. We can remove all of them through an indictment. And the third person that makes up the court ultimately is, as far as an officer is concerned – is the coroner. And of course, whenever there is a question concerning science and a death, that's when the coroner comes to play. But those are the three officers of the court. The deputy or the sheriff, you know, the sheriff or the marshal, shall I say, on the federal level, they play the role of the bailiffs. Okay, now, the major role of the court and the decider of the court is the jury. And the jury is chosen from the people at random from a pool, without prejudice. Once you start to question jurists, you're now going to create a prejudice situation and you've spoiled the jury. Of course, if one of the jurists has a connection to the case, then they have to be removed. But basically, that is the makeup of the court. A court of record cannot start unless the people start it. People can start a court of record. They can file an action. That's one way. That's when an individual can do it. Another way, of course, is for the grand jury. They can file either a presentment, an indictment. So that's another way. And there's one other way, and that is by writ. And that's exactly what we have discovered that we can do, is that we can go into the courts, take control of the courts through writs and writs of order, for instance, writs of mandamuses, a writ of quo warranto, both of which is our orders that they have no choice but to obey, of course, as long as it's constitutional, and we people wrote the Constitution, and that, of course, is what we're trying to apply. So what we have done in National Liberty Alliance, we came about maybe about 2 years ago, and we started to build the grand jury administrations here in New York State, and we expanded that across the nation. We now have a presence in all 50 states, and the presence in the 50 states are grand jury administrations. National Liberty Alliance is just a facilitator for the education and for the communications and the organization of to unify the people through these administrations in all 3,000-plus counties across the nation. And the people, this is where the people will finally take control. We are putting together four administrators in each county, and those administrators would take away the authority from the judge or the prosecutor, whoever's controlling the juries now. These will be non-political positions, people who are being trained and taught that we have to come in with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And then we now have to call for the juries and orientate them for the position that they're going to fulfill for a short period of time, whether it be a week or whether it be days, usually, and maybe a month, but if it's a month, it's only a couple of days here or there. But generally, the idea is to keep turning the juries around, let the people come in fresh and stand. But as long as we can get 8 hours with them and teach them the fundamentals and the foundations of common law, which operate under two principles, in order for there to be a crime, actually they are maxims, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. So if there's no injured party, there is no crime, and you can't take a criminal action against someone, and the state cannot be that injured party. The second major maxim that we would teach the people is that for every injury, there must be a redress. There must be a solution. So the people need to be restored to their former state once after their injury. And those are the basic two basic maxims under common law that a grand jury would act upon, and also a jury, a trial jury. Now, the principles that we teach, three major principles under this falls all the attributes of God, and that is that to come in with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And during our deliberations and conversations, we're to remind each other of that. And that's what we will teach the people they need to do. And those are the only tools that people really need in order to come in and judge. After all, we're judging our peers. We come from the same county, the same neighborhood, and we know what's going on. And who better to judge the people than the people themselves? And this is what our founding fathers set up, and they, of course, got this from the Anglo-Saxons, which really goes back to, goodness, we're aware, I think it came into Europe about 300 or 400 A.D., and that's when it started to flourish throughout Europe and even up into Greenland and throughout the world, ultimately. And, of course, it made its way to America, and that's what our founding fathers, again, had built our whole process upon. Now, the power and the authority of the grand jury and the ability of the grand jury is to look into both the political and the judicial realms. And if there's any wrongdoing by any of these individuals who are our servants, then we have the opportunity to send them a little writ called a mandamus, command them to correct their error and get back on board. And then the second one, of course, would come to remove them from office by indicting them. Now, that's power, and that's power of the people, and that's the way that people can take the authority back. Right now, we're in the federal courts. We have a court of record. It is open. Court is in session. It's been in session for a couple of months. We have filed many papers, and we filed them in all 94 federal courts because they like to make paperwork disappear, so we made it near impossible for them to do it. Plus, we are copying all oath takers throughout America. That's on the federal level. That's U.S. Congress, both houses. We're sending it to all of the judiciary. Of course, we're filing it in 94 courts. We're filing it, and we're serving copies onto all of the state Supreme Courts throughout the nation, the sheriffs, the marshals, the FBI, and quite a few others. There's some others that we also are sending it out to, but anybody who is an oath taker. And this way, it's an impossibility for them to hide this. And, you know, the best cleanser for evil is light. And this is exactly what we're doing. We're just bringing out the truth, laying out the things the way they are, and telling these people they need to correct their error and start obeying the Constitution. Now, since we've started this, we've only had one judge who responded, and they responded in a letter form. They didn't respond in an official way, and it was really a federal judge, I believe. Maybe Gerard can talk a little bit about that when he gets on. But in any event, other than that, these people have not responded. Their silence makes them guilty. When they have a servant has a duty to speak when the people ask or speak to them. They have a duty to respond. And if they do not respond, that is fraud. And that's where we're at right now. So we are bringing together numerous papers. We're filing these writs, and they're not being answered, but we are putting the pressure on them. They're not happy about seeing this kind of thing on the records and out for the world to see. We also have another program going on, a campaign, where we're gathering signatures.
John.
And at some point in about 6 weeks, we plan on sending those signatures in with a particular paper that should really rock their boat. But anyway, go ahead, Roger.
I just wanted to ask a real quick question here, because everything you say is extremely informative, and it does lead us back down the path of what we should be aware of. But when you say that these judges have ignored you, and these judges cannot ignore you, they need to acknowledge, what's the teeth in this for us? Or am
well,
I
the power.
The gun in this conversation.
Well, no, not at all. You see, the only way we can save, only the people can save America, and
right.
I can't save America. You can't save America, and a dozen of us cannot save America, but hundreds of thousands and millions can certainly save America. One of the things that evil does not want is to be exposed. We've been in the courts for quite some time now. One of the things we see that they do is they expunge the records. Sometimes they'll expunge
yes.
it right there while you're in the court.
Yes.
They send papers back. They erase tapes. I mean, they do all kinds of things. In some cases, they may wait. They may wait months, or they may wait years. But eventually, it's set up for expungement, and they expunge. So all of their cases, when it comes down to it, if you were to go after a judge and you started searching out his past, you'll start to be looking. You'll be looking at cases that have been expunged, all of the stuff that might incriminate that judge. And that's the problem we have in courts. And they go to great extremes and great lengths to do this and to shut you up, to silence you, to say that you're crazy, and they have you go out to be looked at by psychiatrists or sending into all kinds of things that they do. They just want to shut you up. They want you to come in with a lawyer who's totally controlled, is bar controlled. And so we realized that these people just don't want the truth to be had. And why? Because they fear the fact, they know that they're breaking the law. That's why, number one. And judges have gone to jail when they've been caught. And that's why they clean the records. That's why what we're doing is so huge and so important and so powerful.
Agreed.
We know that these people are having a problem sleeping at night. We know that they're turning in their bed all night long, and they just can't take it. And I'm going to tell you, the heat's going to get hotter, and we have a lot more to say. And by the time we get through the next six or eight weeks, I think these people are going to be ready to look for flights out of the nation, in my opinion.
Well, I've got to tell you something. If only 10% of what you are indicating here comes to pass, then their lives will never be the same. I'm expecting, with the veracity I see from both you and Gerard, that 10% is a very serious lowball on this estimation.
It is going to snowball, for
yes.
sure. Because that's what happens with life, you know what I mean? And people will wake up. You know, what John's talking about is there's a process when you go into court. And when he says they have to answer, when you put a paper into court, there's a process that's supposed to be followed. That's a constitutional right, your right to due process. So whenever they get in the way of that process, they're breaking the Constitution. They're violating your constitutional rights. And
Where do you fit the NDAA? Where do you fit the Patriot Act or the president's ability to lock you up in prison for the rest of your life without ever, ever seeing a judge? These are now laws within this country.
Well, they're not. They're not really.
That's what I want you to explain, Gerard, because most people believe these are absolute laws.
Just because they're written in black and white gives no authority. The Supreme Court has ruled numerous times that an unconstitutional law confers no power and it can be disobeyed with impunity. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't get locked up for disobeying it. And that's why when you have those kind of laws, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here, it requires a force of people to disobey them. When you're talking things like jury nullification and that type of stuff, it requires a massive movement, and which requires people waking up, you know. And the one thing that has been waking people up and why the time is so important now is because so many people have been bitten by this system. They're the walking wounded. They're ready to wake up.
You see,
they've been hurt and burned. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there is a maxim, and united we stand and divided we shall fall. And I'm sure everybody heard that before in the past. And it is so true. The very first thing if one force goes up to another force, the very first thing they try to do is divide them. And once they divide them, then they can conquer. And that's the plan for thousands of years. Okay, so we the people have to become united, and that is the key. Now, if you go up against these people in the courts by yourself and nobody else is watching, or maybe just a couple of people here or there, yeah, they have no problem to take you away, throw you in jail, and nobody ever knows anything about it, and people will complain, but no one will listen, and they'll get away with it. But we're in a position where we have thousands of people across the nation. Let me make this point. We are established in every single state, all 50 states. That includes Alaska and Hawaii. We have an establishment. We have an address. Every one of these states have unified the grand juries throughout the counties of their states. They have an address for the state unified common law grand jury in that state. They have phone numbers. They have fax numbers. And they have email addresses. So we're well established everywhere. And we're building up our ranks throughout the United States completely. So for them to come against us to try to use those tactics, they haven't got to that point where they can really just boldly come out and do things. You know, 30 years ago, someone like Carl Miller, who brought this certain positions up that we have learned about under common law and constitutional principles and authorities. And back then it worked, but today it doesn't work anymore. Why? Because they've become that bold. Why? Because they don't worry. When we go out after a judge or something, the judge above them is going to protect them all the way up the level.
Yes.
We didn't think that was going to happen, but we found out that that's exactly what happened. So they protect each other. They close the ranks. Now, New York State state is so upset. We have indicted seven or eight, I forget the number, I think it was eight of the highest judges in New York State. These are the administrative judges that are responsible to make sure that the Constitution is applied, that we have courts of justices. And these people are so involved in RICO, so deep into the problem. And what has happened now, we've made a mess of their system in the sense that we've really stirred the pot on them. We've indicted these people. Now they've just stayed silent. And now we move to the federal level. Now they're getting nervous. Now they're getting papers coming down from the federal level, from us through the federal level. And what did they do? One of the highest judges, one of the ones we indicted down in New York City just recently, got together with the others, and they decided that they need to have more control and new rules for the grand jury. And what they're doing is they want to take the grand jury control away from the prosecutors. I think they're starting to get worried that the prosecutors might turn on them. They control the trial jury, but it's the prosecutor in New York that controls the grand jury. So they're trying to take that control. Now, it doesn't matter what they do here in New York, because what's going to happen at the federal level is going to blanket the entire nation. And then we're going to come out and take control of every state once we get into the federal courts. I mean, we will have then not only marshal control and authorities, but we'll also have sheriff controls and authorities. And those are the two major people that we are working overtime to educate. It's the marshals and it's the sheriff, because those are the constitutional officers. And those are the people that need to apply the law and arrest these people, but they're unable to understand when it is that they're breaking the law. Now, I'd like to just digress just for a second, because we were looking at numbers. I think the population of the United States is about 300 million, if I recall. But 1% of 300 million is 30,000 people. They don't even have 1%, and most of the people that they have are useful idiots. So the people that are really up there, it takes a far less than 1% to control a nation. The key to controlling a nation, people have been thinking, well, it's the money, because they've been saying that. And they want people to think that. Whoever controls the money, they control the nation. Well, let me tell you something. You can control all the money of the world. If you don't control the courts, you can't do anything. So that's their dirty little secret that they don't want no one out. They got 100% control of the courts, and that's why they got the courts and they got the money, and now they do what they want.
John.
And they can pay anybody off they want. But just one more second. This 1%, which is 30,000, we're looking for 1 million signatures. If we get 1 million signatures on the next writ that we're writing, that is power, that is authority, and these people are going to be looking for the next flight out of town, I think.
Real quick. Okay, you might already have that, because if you get 1%, you've got 3,150,000, not 30,000. 1% of 315 million is 3.15 million people.
Well, you may be right. Let me see. There's 300 million people, so 1%
is
that's right. It's 3 million. 3 million. Okay, I missed
and
the decimal.
Boy, if we get 3 million people, we got a big old voice.
Yeah, but we don't need 3 million people.
No, I agree.
We don't need 1%. You know, look at what I'll tell you exactly the exact number it's going to take control of the courts. Okay, we have about 3,200 counties throughout the United States. We have more, but some of those don't have courts in them because the land is isolated. You know, there's not many people live there, and so on. But the bottom line is, we got about 3,000 counties. We need four people for each one of those 3,000 counties. So that's what, 4, 8, that's 12,000 people. Throw in the counties that are big, you need a few more. So 15 to 20,000 people is what it's going to take to really take total 100% control of the courts, bring it back to the people. Now, we do need 1 million people behind us. We need as many people. We have thousands of members, and we have tens of thousands of people that visit us, new people, every single month to National Liberty Alliance. So we do have a lot of people looking in on us. And I don't think it's going to be too difficult to get 1 million signatures, but it is a lot of signatures.
Well, we fully intend to herald the message. We fully intend to work in partnership with the National Liberty Alliance to get the word out. If it requires doing a 15-minute recording every week and putting out a news update across the project every week with a 15-minute discussion from you and Gerard or one of yous, whatever it takes. If and you and Gerard and I had a discussion about this prior to the show the other day, if over a billion tweets can be sent to the White House to get the president to buckle under We the People's pressure to allow the CDC whistleblower to immunity so that he can testify in front of Congress. If a billion tweets can go to the White House, I honestly believe a million signatures can be gotten to regain our judicial system.
Well, that sounds very promising, and I'm excited to hear that, and let's do it. You know, we need to get this done. And once we hit a million signatures, or once we hit the 6 weeks mark, because really we're trying to do this within 6 weeks, but we may have a little more time than that, but I don't think so. In any event, once we, whatever it is we reach, we hit the 6 weeks or we hit the million mark, we're not going to stop, and we're going to continue. And we're going to let them know more to follow. And every so often, we'll send in X amount of new signatures, and we'll have them dated and numbered and boxed and send them in. And we're not going to send this just to one court. We are filing this with all 92 courts, all 92 federal courts in the nation. Now, what it's going to take to get a million signatures, and we're kind of pushing 100 on a page. It gets a little small, but I looked at it. It can be done, and it needs to be done. Occasionally, people might take up two spaces, but whatever. It's 100 a page. And 100 a page is going to require 20 reams of paper. Now, 20 reams of paper, you stack it up. That's the delivery that's got to go to each of these federal courts. Now, of course, that's going to cost money to print, money to mail, and also we have a lot of paperwork to do, and we're also filing all these things with every single oath taker in America on the federal and the state level, that is, and, of course, on the county level when it comes to the sheriff. So we're going to file this with the court, and we're going to mail it to everyone. And so one other thing we do need, just want to get the message out, is we do need money. You know, we ask people to give us $5 a month. If everyone involved gave us $5 a month, we'd have more than enough money to do anything we need. But anyway, whatever people can help out there, that's an important issue. Life isn't free, and what we're doing isn't free. Gerard, do you have anything to add to any of these things?
I forgot.
Gerard, if you could do me a favor when you're not talking, we're getting background noise from you. Just turn your mic up when you're not talking. But
okay.
Just let me add something real quick here. I want your opinion on this, Gerard, because you seem to be the person who would focus more on this than John. John seems to be, my God, all the stuff in your head, John, mine would explode. But real quick here, okay? Yes, we all need money to do things. We do, all right? In order to run the Liberty Beacon Project, we need to have revenue streams. In order to do what you're doing and facilitate it in each and every state, you need a basic revenue stream. But doesn't it seem to you that each and every time you bring this up, it is exactly what the trolls and the shills hit you for?
Well, yeah, they try to look at, they say all kinds of lies. Look, it's very simple. You know, we've had some debating in writing, so to speak, from some group. What was that group? The what was the name of that group?
Northern Slope.
No, another one that that did with lawyers, I think.
Oh yeah, Oxbow.
Yeah, but there's another one. But in any event, look, at the guy who was leading this whole charge against us came and just made all these accusations, made all these points that this is illegal, you can't do this, you can't do that, but he didn't have one authority to rest on. And we blew him out of the water. We have a copy of this up on our website, what they said, what we said. We blew him out of water with huge amounts of authorities. You know, that's the key thing. We have truth on our side. You know, we the people are the only way that this nation is going to be saved, but ultimately it has to be an act of God. You know, all nations receive their powers, and they wouldn't have it unless they were given from above, from God. And so, therefore, this has got to be an act of God. And look, this is evil at its worst. This is evil on a scale where, you know, God tells us that we are to obey him and to do the right thing. But men have robbed God and taken men, and they want to rule over men, and they want men to obey them. This is what we have, and this is why we have tyrants. And the biggest tyrants running around right now are these elitists, the New World Order, and they're looking to try to take over this entire world. And I think there's going to come to a point that God's going to put an end to all this. And so we just have to do the right thing. But we have to do the honorable thing. We have to bring justice back to our courts. And this is extremely important to understand. The word justice is synonymous with virtue. It comes from God. Our nation was built upon God. And so we have biblical principles that we act upon and we need to continue upon. When we go into the court in a court of record, which is a common law court or natural law, whichever you want to call it, they're synonymous. When you go into a court, there is a king in that court. And the people who are the juries, the grand juries, the trial juries, they are sitting on the king's bench. And the king in the American court system, on every federal level, on every state level, is King God. So when we go into that courtroom, we go in there with principles. And it's a very simple thing. We don't need laws. We don't need statutes. People know when someone's been hurt. They know when someone's been violated. They know when a wrongdoing has taken place. They can figure that out. And they can also figure out how to fix it because they live in the same world we do. And so we all know what needs to be done. But the key thing is this, is the only way America is going to get a blessings again from God is to bring our judicial process back into order so that we can bring the whole house back into order, because then they'll all obey the Constitution or they'll find themselves out of a job. But the bottom line is that when we sit on that jury, we are representing King God and we must act with principles. And that's how we are guided by God. Just act with principles, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy.
I understand that. And even for people out there who do not believe in God, what you're saying makes absolute sense. It does. It's about principles. It's about what we know to be right and what we know to be wrong. Because the pushback will come from those who say, I don't believe in God. But yes, you do believe in right and wrong. You do believe in just and unjust. Okay, so we all have basic principles. I'd like to talk about something else, and I don't care whether it's you, John, or Jerry who talks about this, but there is another legal mechanism within this country for us to overcome the power of these courts, officers of the court, and that is jury nullification, whereby the jury can say, you know what, I don't care what you say, whether he is actually guilty of what you accuse him of being guilty of, the circumstances stand as such that this man should not be punished. He may deserve a big slap on the back and a thank you. So jury nullification is a reality. What does the NLA feel about jury nullification, and is it a tool that we should be impressing upon people to use?
Well, it would be in place right now if they weren't usurping it. You see, when the people get back in the courts, that's exactly what you're going to have. You're going to have true jury nullification.
Yes.
Right now, if you try jury nullification, there's judges out there that will hold you in contempt of court. Look at they've put jurors in jail sometimes. They reverse jury decisions because they're operating under a corporate charter in a corporate court, and they're playing word magic, and people are consenting in unbeknownst to them, and so they feel comfortable running this scam on the people. Now, if you get a jury that really sticks to it, and there's enough media, you'll get away with it. But generally speaking, they have so much control over the juries and just the fact of the way they pick them, you never get jury nullification usually, because they make sure that they get a jury that's very sympathetic to what the prosecutor wants. And that kind of kills it right there, right from the get-go.
All right, next question here.
Right, well, I'd like to just respond real quickly to that, because look at Thomas Jefferson said that if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. The whole thing goes back to education. And I will tell you right now, I can tell you that if I had a magic wand, and if I can wave that magic wand, and 100,000 people come to understand what we, the people at National Liberty Alliance, have come to understand and to realize, and they would have come, game over, and we take this nation back tomorrow. But it's all about education and knowledge. When you go in there boldly and you start to quote the truth and you show the fraud and you expose it on paper and they can't remove it from paper, they start to shake in their boots, literally. We've heard of judges literally running out of the courtroom. There's all kinds of things that have taken place. So it's there, and there is something they're frightened of. Right now they have no fear. But when they realize and understand what we know, where we're coming from and what we're applying and what we're putting on their tables and what they have to digest, and they don't have a choice, and it's being exposed to the whole world, That's when they start to fear, and they will fear the people again.
I not only agree, but I will tell you how I end a lot of my memes or a lot of my articles that I write. I end it with the following phrase, okay? Stand together, speak in a unified voice, and live free. And this is exactly what you're discussing. We need to stand together. We need to. We need to speak in a unified voice. And we need to regain our freedoms. So, you know, that everything you guys have put out so far is paramount for people out here to understand, because it is a true mechanism for regaining control over this system within this country. But let's talk about that system, because most people out there have no idea that there is admiralty law and there is common law. And the difference between the two is like night and day. And whereas one guarantees the people control, the other one does nothing but remove control from the people. Can I get an explanation from you guys on what system we're actually operating under in this country and what system we're supposed to be operating under?
Right. Look, our court system is a hybrid system. Yeah. It is a mixture of a lot of things. And you have to understand, first of all, how the law in the United States was put together. If you go into the Constitution, it says that only law and equity, okay, those are the two laws we have. Now, equity is ultimately contract law. Now, in Article 6, it defined the authorities of that equity, in other words, the rules by which that process is to go by. And that was done in Article 6, which brings us under common law, that all judges, it's the supreme law of the land, all judges must obey. Now, in equity courts, you have judges. In common law, you know, in law courts, you don't have a judge, you have a magistrate. And the difference between the two is a magistrate is just, it's like a traffic cop, and you have a jury, and the jury decides. The magistrate gets to decide absolutely nothing. Okay, he just makes sure that things move along and it goes in a flow and everybody takes turns. He's just the traffic cop. That's it. And he signs the papers at the end. Now, when you go into an equity court, that's where the judges come into play. They are a professional jurist. They're someone who is elected. They're paid. They are political. They have a position, but they have to try to separate themselves from their political exchanges. The key thing is this, though, is that the Constitution requires that they obey the supreme law of the land. So now you have a common law court in an equity court. Now, I don't think, and I've been studying this for quite some time, I have never heard of that before. As a matter of fact, most equity courts you'll find are chancery courts. And the chancery courts, these equity courts, therefore, run under the rules of chancery. Now, what happened in back when they were debating the putting together of our Constitution, if you go and read the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, they did talk a little bit about the chancery courts. And they were banned in the United States. They were banned by leaving them out. And then the Bill of Rights just totally did the death blow to it, because once you apply the Bill of Rights, chancery has no chance at all to survive. Now, what they have done... Now, the Constitution was put forward, and it was signed in 1789, and I think it was five of the states refused to sign unless there was a Bill of Rights to be added. What we can look at really is a Bill of Prohibitions. So they agreed that a Bill of Rights would be put together. They were working on it at that point. I'm sure they had a rough draft probably at that time, and then the Constitution went forward. But the ultimate capstone of the Constitution was the Bill of Rights. But in 1789, when the Constitution was ratified and George Washington took office, that very same year, I wish I remember the month, I think it was in September, but that very same year, they came out, Congress came out with a paper, and it was called the Judicial Act of 1789. And in the Judicial Act of 1789, it gave the authority of the courts to operate under chancery rules, and that was the destroyer. Now, Marbury versus Madison, I believe that was 1803 when that decision came out, and that blew that back right out of the water. But the Bill of Rights, which came 2 years after, I think the Bill of Rights came out in 92, I think it was 1792 when the Bill of Rights was finally ratified and put in place, that blew that whole idea out of the water, and also the Marbury versus Madison. But that was the beginning of their stepping stone. And Chancery courts never left the courts in America. And little by little, you know, they kept pushing everything onto an equity side. So everybody gets a judge and not a jury. Now, the Fifth Amendment requires a jury. You cannot be brought up on a criminal charge, and you do not have to answer any charge brought against you unless under an indictment. So when you're arrested by anyone, and they try to bring in, for instance, you go to these town courts, they don't even have the authority to arrest you and to imprison you or to, you know, to incarcerate you or to fine you at all. And yet they do, and they do it without a jury. And people are spending a year in jail, county jails, all the time, day in and day out, throughout America, and they've never been indicted. So what happened was later on, they created some other problems, of course, in law. And in 1871, they came up with the Organic Act. And the Organic Act, what they did is it created a municipality in Washington, D.C. And matter of fact, it became Washington, D.C. It was understood as District of Columbia, and the Founding Fathers called it the Federal City. But it did come up with the name of Washington, and it was eventually prematurely probably called Washington, D.C., in anticipation of the 1871 Organic Act. And the Organic Act created a power and authority of a municipality in Washington, D.C., and they turned all of the judicial districts into districts of Columbia. Now, all of this is, you know, smoke and mirrors. It's not real. It's what's called a fiction. It's not real. It's not truth. But nevertheless, the people believe it's true. And as long as the people believe it's true, then this is what they're going to have. Once you wake them up and you bring the law back and you hold and call a fraud, the whole system could collapse, and it could collapse quite quickly.
I really need to jump in because you just said something that to me has set up the biggest tyranny this country has ever faced. The Act of 1871 also – in the "this is a fiction or not"
created
the United States Incorporated.
That's right. And it also created them a state. It gave them the power,
yes,
and the authority of the state equal with any other government. And it turned out to become the control of the federal seat because they did it under – they claimed it under the Constitution, under Article 1, Section 8, I think it's 17 and 18. They claimed to have done this, which had already – been done, but done correctly in a trust, but they did it in a corporation. And thereby, that's when they seized control of the administration. That's when they seized control of Washington, D.C. That's when they seized total control of all of our representatives. And now Washington is actually ruled over by an oligarchy.
Yes.
They don't even write the laws. They're given the laws. And they're told to sign, and they're paid off with all this special interest money.
What is really, really... And what really slapped me in the face was not too long ago, and anybody that wishes to Google what I'm about to say, please do. Princeton University, one of the oldest and one of the most accredited universities in the history of this country, stated in a study performed by Princeton University that the United States is no longer ruled by democratic process. It is ruled by the power of oligarchy. This came from Princeton University within the last 12 months. Google it. You will find this.
And it is unlawful, and it can be dismantled. Look, exposure is the key.
Yes.
That is the whole key to this whole thing. I'd like to just read a couple of quotes. I mean,
please do.
First, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it away from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." Now, one other thing, and I'd like to read what Thomas Jefferson said, and that was, "An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens." Now, to bring this whole thing to really where I'm trying to get it to, I'd like to read two more quotes. One's actually comes out of Black's Law Dictionary. It's a definition of de facto versus de jure, okay? And another one is a Supreme Court case concerning that very issue. It was Norton versus Shelby.
Okay, can I jump in for about 20 seconds before you do that, because you started something. I do want to hear what you have to say, but I have something to add. We have talked about the massive vaccinations in this country. We've talked about, in private conversations, you and Gerald and my, Gerard and myself, about the GMOs, about the massive. Well, let's go back to Mr. Jefferson one more time, because one of my favorite quotes from this individual is, if the people let the government decide what foods they eat and what medicines they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry a state as the souls of those who live under tyranny.
Well, amen.
And I apologize.
Boy, he knew.
What's that? He had a crystal ball.
And
he had a crystal ball.
I'm telling you, he even understood the corporations of those days.
Yes.
Jefferson is the greatest American thinker ever, and I don't think he'll ever be topped. This man actually, look at this man actually went out when he discovered what was going on with the Anglo-Saxons, which brings us to the Vikings. And you go on TV, the Vikings are evil. Let me tell you, the Vikings were the savior of the world in its day. They were out saving the people, saving nations, and they owed nothing to them. And they liked the people, and they settled with them, and they brought their law. And the law they had was the law ruled by God and not men. Now, they hadn't coupled with the Bible yet, but apparently back in their past somewhere, they picked something up, because it actually brings us back to Mosaic law of a 400-year period of rule by God that matches to nothing ever on this planet. And that's when Israel was taken out of Egypt. Of course, the first 40 years they wandered, but when God brought them into the promised land, he gave them rule by God, and they flourished more than any nation and any people ever on the planet. Now,
I really need you. Yep. Get to your two other quotes, because our time is running down, and I know.
Okay, just real
really,
quick. I'll get back to the quotes in just one more second. So basically, the point is that Jefferson was so impressed by these people. Jefferson spoke six languages. When he found these people, he went and learned their language in order to study them, and that's what America has been built upon. That and Mosaic law. But getting back to these two quotes that I really wanted to get to, it's important to understand what's going on and what the real law is. And in Black's Law Dictionary, it says that the de facto versus the de jure, an officer, king, or government, de facto, is one who is the actual possession of the office or supreme power, but by usurpation, or without legal title, while an officer, king, or governor, de jure, is one who has just claim and rightful title to the office or power, but has never had the plenary possession of it, or is not in actual possession. And that's where we're at right now. We have a de facto government. We have a group of people who have seized control. Now, in the United States, Supreme Court ruled in Norton versus Shelby County, we read, while acts of a de facto incumbent of an office lawfully created by law, now the office was created by law, and existing are often held to be binding from reasons of public policy, the acts of a person assuming to fill and perform the duties of an office which does not exist de jure can have no validity whatsoever in law. An unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplations as inoperable as though it had never been passed.
I love that.
Now, the people need to understand this. If we had 100,000 people, my goodness, if we had 1 million people, forget about it. We have 100,000 people who understood this and joined our movement and came forward, we would take the nation back in a heartbeat.
So it really is the emperor has no clothes.
Ow!
It really is.
My God, if I had to say that, I couldn't have possibly finished that as powerfully as you did, John. But I would like to hear a little bit from you, Gerard. I would like to hear what you think about the successes and the growth of the National Liberty Alliance. We haven't heard much from you. I know your voice is on its way out, but I would like to hear just a little bit more from you, because John is absolutely burying me. I mean, John, you are a walking encyclopedia. How do you live with that much stuff in your head? And I thought my head was full. Hello?
Well, to God be the glory on that one. Yeah. That's all I can say. It has nothing to do with me.
All right.
But, Gerard, go ahead.
Go ahead, Gerard. I want to hear what you have to think about the NLA. I want to hear what you have to think about the mission. And I want to hear what you have to think about what you've accomplished and what you're hoping to accomplish in the near future.
Well, it's obvious that I'm confident that there is a good ending here, because I wouldn't be sticking myself into this if I didn't think that there was nothing good going to come out of it. So, obviously, I'm hopeful, and I'm not even hopeful. I just know, because everything that's in place, when you turn that light on, you get that domino effect. It one thing falls into the next and into the next, and we're very close to that. And we can tell, and what I tell people is, don't get involved with the psyops of the other side, because most of what they do, they're not going to tell you they're suffering the death of 1,000 cuts, which they are, because the nation's waking up. The internet has certainly given us a tool that we can communicate with. I don't know how much longer we'll have it, but as long as it's here, we're gonna use it as a tool, as that tool that God gave us. I believe it should be protected as much as the First Amendment on newspapers should be. This internet should be protected. So that's another thing that we have to make sure gets cemented into this system of communication. Because look at today. People don't buy encyclopedias. They don't buy Bibles. Everything is on the internet. So that's a very important tool that we have to use. And that's why Obama's grabbing it. And that's why we have to take this country back at the grassroots levels. And we have to make sure that they don't come into even our local communities and mess with our ISPs and stuff, because we need people to stand against that. That's our only recourse is to stand together in a force. And we have the court watchers that we use. We bring cameras into the courts. And let me tell you something. If you ever want to see a court turn towards the people, come to a court hearing where National Liberty Alliance has pulled together some court watchers with cameras, and watch the judges fall all over themselves. Because all of a sudden, they're not working in the dark, like John says. There's a light in there, and people are watching. So we've put the chink in the armor. And it's starting to open up. The light is starting to go into the chink. What these judges don't understand is, you know, when they don't answer us, or when they give us these non-answers, look at those are indictments against them. Everything that they send us is evidence, and we're hauling on to it, because I want to just say court is in session, and the people are watching. So they're going to be very careful how they answer us from now on. Because everything that they say, just like the cops say, can and will be used against you, and we are collecting that right now. So it's only a matter of time.
I'd like to pipe in with something real quickly. You know, a lot of people, they go to the Bible, for instance, and there's a lot of stories. There's going to be all kinds of terrible things and beheading and things of that nature. And to be honest with you, I don't see any of that at all. As a matter of fact, I see the opposite. Now, you look out into the world, you would think that that's what's going to happen. And they read the book of Revelation, for instance. They read it, off the top of their head, and they see the language. They don't understand what it's really being talked about. But in Isaiah, I would like to just bring this up, because I think this gives a lot of hope. In Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 21, the Lord says, "Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with their cities." So I don't think the Lord is going to allow these people to win. I think he is raising his people up, and we're coming into the courts of justice, which is synonymous with virtue. We're bringing God back into the courts. We were a nation under God. We're going to bring it back to God. We're going to bring justice in the courts, and then God will judge these people. Because the rest of it is up to just the way things turn out. You know, it has nothing. One of the things we do teach is we're not on a witch hunt. We're not after people. We came in peaceful ways. We came with the olive branch, and they've rejected it. And we've come more than one time with the olive branch, and they continue to reject it. They've convicted themselves. If these people go to jail when we get in, that's because they put themselves there.
So you honestly believe at this point that And again, I don't want, I never ever want to pop a hole in anybody's bubble. And I do believe in everything you say, and I do believe in the power of everything you say. What I also believe in is that, and because I have also done a massive amount of research and very in-depth research, and that what we face is not even a U.S. entity. What we face is a global entity. What we face is something that is happening to every single person on this planet who consider themselves to be a free individual. We are all having – the United States has no patent on either liberty or tyranny. These are global aspects. The reason the United States is getting the hardest – and I apologize for what I'm about to say, and I can't say it any other way. The reason we're getting the heaviest bitch slap here is because these entities look at the freedom-minded people in this country, the strength of character that we have, or at least used to have in the very near past, towards freedom and towards righteousness. They see that. So they know for a fact that the United States, especially the very powerful middle class, has to be brought to its knees first so that the rest of the world looks onto us and says, if the powerful and righteous Americans don't have the strength and the fortitude to hold these tyrants back, this new world order back, what chance do we have? Now, right. How far off the path do either one of you think I am by saying that?
Well, I think you're right on the mark, but I'd like to add something to give it a little enlightenment on what you're saying
this
here.
Is
because
what I was hoping
ultimately,
for, John.
Ultimately, you know, the Western world is all under natural law. We all come under common law. If you go into history and you read about what took place, especially in the time period called the Dark Ages, okay? It was the battle of good against evil in the courts. That's where the battle was. I read a book by Brett Winters called Common Law, and it really opened my eyes to understand the courts and what went on and the battles that took place in order to keep the people free. And but, you know, it has gone through all of Europe, you know, Germany particularly and England particularly, where common law has been very strong, and it really seems to have come out of Germany, but in any event, the Germanic tribes, but in any event, they're under common law just like America, but America took the next step. They actually made God king. Washington refused the kingship, okay, because if he would have received the crown, we would be under a king. They wouldn't have been able to stop that. And a lot of people spoke about that, that Washington saved the nation from going back to the same tyranny that England was under. And what the nation that was set up was a Jeffersonian understanding. Jefferson was the one who discovered this and brought it to the other intellects of his days, and they grabbed hold of it, and they ran with it, and they built this nation. And that nation is a rule under God. It is King God who is the ruler of us. And that's what makes us different than any other nation. And that is, the United States has become the thorn in the side of the New World Order. You see, they've already got the whole world down under control to a great degree. Okay,
yes.
It's America has been the problem. That darn Constitution, that darn Bill of Rights, that damn piece of paper, Bush said.
The rest of the world gets a fractional reserve of the freedom that we get.
I totally agree.
So that's the key, and this is what their problem has been. I mean, they've tried to take over many, many times, going all the way back, even we've seen back in the 30s even, you know, when the Million Man March on Washington, General Smudley or whatever rank he was, that guy, and he exposed the coup that was taking place, and he was asked to run that coup.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've tried many, many, many times. I mean, World War II was a move of the New World Order. Hitler spoke about the New World Order. Their intention was to take the world over that way, and the United States would have to have been dealt with. But what happened, it made the United States much more powerful.
Yes.
Because we were a sleeping giant.
And
that's where they missed on that one.
And I agree. I've got two quick quotes for you, and then I'd like both your reactions on these quotes, and then we're going to have to say goodnight. Okay? Because I hate that because these conversations go way too fast. The first quote is, in America today, the only reality that overshadows the stark ignorance of the general public is the overwhelming greed and complicity of those they let rule over them. Now, hold on to your comments. That's number one. Okay? The second one is, if you finally wake up to the concept of liberty only after it has become extinct, know that it was you and those like you who were the vast majority of the problem. Okay, I throw the floor open. What about both of them? Do they ring true?
Well, to a large degree, I think it does. Look, we are our own worst enemy. Ignorance is not going to get us anywhere except slavery. You know, to some degree, it's not the people's fault because we've been under their control. You know, they got the media out there. They got education control. Central education has been controlled for quite some time now. They got control over the music. They got control over everything. And so they have removed the knowledge necessary to be free. You know, if you want to keep a slave, don't let them read and write.
Well, I agree.
Well, don't let them know about how what truth is and what justice really is. The whole thing can be cleaned up and fixed through just education. That's the key. And the people getting up to save this nation, not only for themselves, but their posterity.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. But where you and I diverge is I am tired of we the people constantly saying it is his fault, it is his fault, it is his fault. Okay?
Right.
We have allowed ourselves, okay, we have acquiesced to the power of these tyrants. We have given our power over to them. The people at one point in this country knew that they were they were supreme. They knew they were sovereign, that the federal government was a servant of theirs. And today, that is believed by way too many in this population exactly the opposite as what it is supposed to be. I am very, very tired of the American people in general saying, this government did this, this government did this. We need at some point to say, we have allowed, due to our acquiescing the power bestowed onto us, we have allowed these things to happen to us because nothing can be further from the truth. Yes, we have evil men. Why do we have evil men ruling over us? Because we have allowed this to happen. So the waking up is not only to see the evil that's being perpetrated against us, but it is also, that awakening, it's just important for us to realize the failures we have made to allow this to happen to us. And that I won't give an inch on.
Well, I agree. The people have to step up. They have to become educated. They have to do the right thing. You know, there's a song out there by Supertramp, and it's talking about the finale, the end of the world. Oh no, don't let it happen. Don't let the stage fall apart. Don't let the curtain fall. Okay, let's rip off their masks and let's see who are these people. Oh no, that can't be right because there's you and there's me. You see, we are the problem. Ultimately, you're right.
I agree. All right. Well, Gerard, any last comments on that little piece of conversation there?
Well, one of the big things talking about ripping the mask off, we have to stop this business of it's the Democrats or it's the Republicans.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing further from the truth. And we have whole movements out there that believe this crap. And it's not. Look at this. This force we're up against is very, very patient. And they never... If we put something up against them, they look at it, how can we use it as a tool against them?
Yes.
And that's exactly what they do. We have to get that mindset. We have to figure out what they're doing, and we have to figure out how to use it as an asset instead of a liability. That's their maxim. We need to make it ours.
Well, guys, this is the part of the show, like I said, I hate the most. But we have been talking for over an hour. So I might have to cut out a little bit of my jibber-jabber in here to make it fit into the time slot. But I really, really wanted to let you know, John and Gerard, how much I appreciate. We tried very hard for, over a month to get this conversation done, and I'm very, very happy we got it done today. Everybody out there, please visit the National Liberty Alliance. You will find information also on the Liberty Beacon Project about them and everything going forward that they wish to accomplish. We will offer them the mechanism of media, grassroots media, in a very large fashion to help get that word out, and because we truly believe in your word, John and Gerard. And I want to thank you very much. The Liberty Beacon Project thanks you very much for being with us tonight. And for everybody listening, this has been a TLB special brought to you by the Liberty Beacon Project on the Liberty Beacon Radio Network. We'll be talking again soon.